Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we're thankful, Lord, that you have placed it within our hearts to believe. And Lord, we just ask that you would take a hold of our thoughts tonight. Our thoughts, O God, our ears, our heart, especially our heart, because this is the hour in which the Spirit of Elijah was to come in this hour to change the hearts of the people back to the hearts of the fathers. And so, Father, we just commit our heart and the tilling of our heart and the changing of our heart first, because we know that we are transformed by the renewing of our mind. And so, Lord, we just commit our mind unto thee, which is our heart, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. This evening we're going to look at the 11th attribute of a Son of God, which is being born again of incorruptible seed, the revealed and vindicated Word of God. And for our text, if we'd open our Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. I want you to understand tonight the difference between seed of God and other seed is that the seed of God are born of an incorruptible seed, whereas others are born of a corruptible seed. We're going to look at that difference tonight. And I want you to notice that there's two new births that are being mentioned here. One is born of corruptible seed, which is man's words, and while the other is incorruptible, which is born of the Word of God, the seed of God, the vindicated Word or the revealed Word, seed of God. And we know, of course, in Matthew 13, the sower went forth sowing, that was the Son of Man, sowing the Word. Now, tonight we're going to take a simple study of the two births and show the main how one is a temporary birth which does not last at all. Notice it's called corruptible. It goes from revival to revival, from altar call to altar call. But the birth by the incorruptible seed is one that's eternal. That life cannot die, it cannot fade away, it cannot diminish, and it will last forever. Now, Brother Branham said in his sermon, Abraham, preached 1955, 6 of 8, or June 8th, he said, if a seed goes in the ground, a grain of wheat, it cannot produce anything else but a grain of wheat. So if you go around and say, well, praise the Lord, I've been saved, I've got the Holy Ghost, and living any kind of a life, you better get back to the altar of God again. Because the incorruptible seed of God cannot be one thing. You cannot be a wheat and a cockabur at the same time. You've got to either be a wheat or a cockabur. You all got cockabur down here, don't you? All right, greenbriars then. Every way you want to call them, some other weed, you see. You can't be a weed and a wheat at the same time. If you got the spirit in you of the life of the wheat, you'll produce wheat. If you got the spirit of you in of the life of a cockabur, it'll produce a cockabur. And if the Holy Ghost is in you, you'll believe God, you'll love God, and you'll act like a Christian. That's right. And if it isn't, you'll know them by their fruits they bear. Oh, what we need today is a good old time Holy Ghost revival. What we need today is an old time shaking again of the power of God, a moving of the mulberry bushes to go forward to battle again. God's giving the moving if people will just listen to it and believe it. So Brother Branham is defining here also the same thing that 1 Peter is doing, that you can be born again and say you're born again, but if you've got the same old life in you, you haven't been born of the incorruptible seed, you've been born of a corruptible word. Now, I want you to notice Brother Branham here speaking of the law of life, which we see in Genesis 1:11, that every seed must bring forth after its kind. And all this is telling us is that whatever the seed is, it doesn't matter. He said it could be weeds, it could be wheat. But whatever seed life is in there, it's going to produce, it's going to bring forth, which means it's going to produce fruit after that kind. All right, so, you know, you don't put a cucumber down here, you know, plant a cucumber and expect to have watermelon fruit. You know, if you've got cucumber seed, you're going to have cucumber fruit. And he says it has a certain life that has certain characteristics. And those characteristics are a part of that life. So whatever seed life that you plant, what comes up will have to be the same character and the same nature of that seed life that was planted. So, you know, if you have the Holy Spirit, you're not going to go around spying on people. You're not going to, well, I'll take that back. If your motive may be right in doing so, like Brother Branham spied on the couple, not to find something, some goods against them. But Brother Branham did it for his own self, to see how these couples that he had married were doing. But you're not going to do things that are deviant. You know, if you have to hide what you're doing, your motive is wrong. If you can't be open and forward with it, then you better check your motive. You see? From the spoken words original seed, Brother Rand said, now, what is it? It's the same seed. How can you plant wheat here and wheat here and say, I'm going to get cucumbers here and wheat here? You can't do it. The only way that you're going to get cucumbers is if you plant cucumbers. Now, if you hybrid it, well, then it won't be a cucumber. It'll be a hypocrite. Is that right? It'll be a hypocrite, friends. See, you've got to say, well, it isn't either one. Isn't a cucumber or what you bred it with. It's a crossbreed, and it has a bad product, and it's dead in itself, and it can't breed itself back no more. It's dead right there, back, and it won't go no further. That finishes it. But if you want a cucumber, start with a cucumber. If you want a church, start with the Word of God. If you want a life of God, start with the Word of God. Accept the Word in its fullness, every measure of it. And then if that is the fullness of God in you, then the rain that's falling will produce exactly what's in your garden. So what he's saying, plant the Word in here. That's what I say. Get those tapes on. We know what seed he had. We know what life he had. We can see it. We saw it. You know, as I've mentioned this before, I've been to a lot of countries around the world. I've met a whole lot of ministers around the world. And I can tell you in almost every one of those countries, the people are, they're drawn to the message because of the life that William Branham lived. Many don't understand the doctrine. They haven't got a clue to the doctrine, but boy, they sure love that man because there was a life there. And that's what God is looking in us, for us. It's not how well you can explain things. It's not how intellectual you are or how refined or anything else. It has nothing to do with it. It's are you living to what you've got or what you've been given? So the incorruptible word seed will produce incorruptible word seed life. Now in 1 Peter 3 and verse 4 he says, but let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible. Even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. Notice then, the seed is planted, he says, in the heart. And that's why Brother Branham said, I would rather have your heart be right than your doctrine be right. Because if your heart is right, then when you plant the doctrine in that heart that is right, the doctrine will produce the same life as the seed that was planted. But what if you have a wrong heart? Then the seed that's planted will not be, it won't produce. It'll be an intellectual seed with no life in it. That's why they've got it, but they don't got it, as Brother Vail would often say. It will produce intellectual life. Look, they can quote it, but so can a parrot. You can teach parrots to quote. Now, from his sermon, Law Having a Shadow, Brother Branham said, for a grain of corn cannot produce a cockabur. Neither can cockleburs produce corn. And if you're sowed with the incorruptible seed of God, born of the Spirit of God, your whole motive, everything in your whole life goes towards God. In the day when Noah turned the crow loose, he was a bird that sat right there on the ark. Set in the ark, right on the same floor with the dove. He could fly just as far as a dove could. He could make a noise just like a dove. But when they turned them loose, the crow was a scavenger. His nature was different. He could fly from one dead, rotten body to the other and satisfy himself. But the dove could not satisfy herself on that. She flew back to the ark and pecked on the window until Father Noah opened the window. She was a dove. A dove is a bird that doesn't have any gall. It cannot digest rotten things. Now notice how Brother Brown brings out the difference in the nature and the characteristics of the dove and the crow to show how that they both, even though they're both sitting in the same revival, the same tent or the same church, the same pew, the same ark, notice how different their characteristics are, their natures are, even though they're both participating in the same revival. He says, I will restore, from the message, I will restore, Brother Brown said, he says, now Jesus said, every word of God is a seed. Is that right? A sower went forth sowing seed. He said, I, the Son of Man, have sowed the seed, and the seed's the word of God. And every time you see this Bible say anything, it's a seed, and it's absolute, and we're sowed with the incorruptible seed of God. And if a man will take any divine promise of God into his heart and water it with faith, It'll produce just exactly what it said it would do. Amen. I don't care what it is. Just take God's promise in your heart, and there it is. Now notice that the seed is sown into the heart. It is in the heart that the life will come forth into manifestation first. Then, that which is in the heart, notice the life that's germinated in the heart, it begins to overflow into the body, and then the body begins to manifest outwardly what is taking place in the heart. In John chapter 3, verse 3 to 8, Jesus answering said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Brother Bram showed us, I think I had 20-some pages of quotes where Brother Bram said that means he cannot understand the kingdom of God. Except a man be born again, he cannot see, which means he cannot understand the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answering said, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto you, you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. And from his sermon, the seal of God, Brother Branham said, when a grain of wheat falls into the earth, no matter, and if that grain of wheat dies to itself, it can't produce a cockabur to save its soul. A grain of wheat will bring forth a grain of wheat, just as sure as anything. And if we are sowed with the incorruptible seed of God, how can it produce anything but a life of Christ? The Holy Spirit leading the church leads it in the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and you're sealed until the day of redemption. That's the Bible. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed until the day of your redemption, Ephesians 4:30. Well, one thing that's bothered me more than any that I've seen over the years in this message is when we get people in business, we get people doing things, and I've got some real good experiences watching people over the last. I've been pastoring for 32 years now. 31 years now, and I've seen a lot of people pulling deals on people. I've seen people. You give money to do something, and then they go out and they find junk stuff, and they put that in instead of buying the new stuff that you gave money to do. I've seen people get paid to make tapes, and then they don't make the tapes, but they cash the money. Listen, brother, what he's saying, if we are sowed with the incorruptible seed of God, how can it produce anything but a life of Christ's life? We have got to die to self. So we see the characteristics of the believer is that of an incorruptible seed. In other words, being incorruptible, it cannot perish. It cannot perish. In John 3:15-16, he says, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. So the believer cannot perish, but shall have everlasting life or eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, that means that it won't fade away. That means it won't go from revival to revival and need a shot in the arm every so often. That means that, brother and sister, it's not going to diminish. The life is not going to diminish. It's not going to perish. It's not going to rot out. It's eternal life. It is Christ's life. From expectations and what is love, Brother Brown said, just like a grain of corn, when it goes into the ground, it cannot be a creeper, a cocklebur, a jimson weed, or a cactus stalk. It's got the life in it of corn. It'll produce corn. And if a man's ever born of the Spirit of God, he becomes a new creature and can't produce nothing else but godly fear and godly love and the fruits of the Spirit, for it is life. We are sowed with the incorruptible seed of God, the imperishable seed of God. It's got to produce just exactly of its kind. Amen. I hope that I'm not too loud. Now notice, it's got its life in it. When a grain of corn goes into the ground, if it's a yellow grain, it'll produce a yellow stalk of corn. If it's a yellow grain of corn. If it goes in as a wheat, it'll produce wheat. A barley will produce barley. Whatever it will be will produce just exactly what it is. All right? So, that's so basic. That is just so simple. I don't know why people just can't understand this. But they seem to think, well, I'm born again and it don't hurt me to drink. It don't hurt me to smoke. Well, my brother, sister, who told you that you're born again if you're out there drinking and smoking? How do you know you're born again? Now, I'm going to tell you something. You will know, because when God's life comes into your vessel, you won't smoke, you won't drink, you won't live like the world. Because God don't live like the world. And if God don't live like the world and his life is living your life for you, you ain't going to live like the world. And if you got God, his spirit's holy. It's not just the spirit you're getting. You already got that. And Brother Brown said you can't even get along with yourself. That's why you had to have a welcoming spirit. You see? But you're going to get a Holy Spirit. And when you get a Holy Spirit, you're going to live holy. And when their eyes were opened, from the message, when their eyes were opened, Brother Branham said, what is sin? It's unbelief. Smoking and drinking, committing adultery, lying, stealing, that's not sin. That's the attributes of sin. You do that because you're an unbeliever. And if you was a believer, you wouldn't do that, see? Just because you quit smoking and quit drinking and quit committing adultery, that doesn't make you a Christian either. You're a Christian because you're a believer, see? And you are a sinner. Now, you do those things that you ought not to do because the life that's in you makes you do it. A tree is known by its fruit. Now listen. If you still have the urge, you're not dead yet. If it's still in you to do it, you're not dead yet. From Matthew 7:24, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock, and the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell not. Notice why? Because it's unperishable. It's not perishable. It's incorruptible. And it was founded, because it was founded upon a rock. That's Revelation. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth not them shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Now listen. Notice both of these, the same test came. You understand? Then to hear and not do makes you a fool, according to the scripture here, a foolish virgin. And to hear and to do makes you wise. And notice the same test come on both the fool and the believer, but only the believer will stand the test. But the test will be the undoing of the fool. Notice it shows the difference between the wise virgin and the foolish virgin. They both heard the midnight cry, but one was ready, one did. She was ready, while the other did not. One did while the other had not. And it was too late to do, because they said, well, we did. You go do the same. And so when they went off to do, it was too late. From faith once delivered to the saints. When our Bible said that we are sown with the incorruptible seed of God, imperishable, it cannot perish. God's word cannot perish. Now, every seed will bring forth of its kind. So if you have received the vindicated truth, not just mentally, brother, sister, because it's not hearing it here, it's getting it here. And if you truly got it in here, the life that's in that vindicated word, that the same life that conducted the life of William Branham, is going to conduct your life as well. And we must have this incorruptible word to bring on an incorruptible body. You're not going to get it just by having intellectual understanding. In 1 Corinthians 15:53-54 says, for this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. In other words, look, what is the incorruptible? It's the word of God. When this body has got to bring on the word of God, it's got to take in the word of God. Now, notice Brother Branham explains explaining healing in Jairus. He says, if you will notice, and notice how he ties us in with germs. He says, now if you notice what it is, the cancer comes from a germ. But so did you come from a germ. You were one time one little germ. And you come to, and what is a germ? It's a teeny little cell. What's beyond that cell? It's life. Then you're in the supernatural realm. Then it begins to develop cells, everything after its kind. Dog to dog, bird to bird, human to human, every seed after its kind. Keeps developing cells till you grow to where you are now. Well, then what if you put on word upon word upon word? Isn't that growing something? Then in your body, it becomes a cancer or a tumor or a cataract or something. What's that? That's another germ developing cells. It has no form. It just runs anyways. Nothing behind it. It's the devil. It runs out and spreads over and covers the eyes and gets in and then goes to sucking your blood. And remember, that cancer in there, developing cells, is growing just like you did in the womb of your mother. Now, where'd he come from? It wasn't there from the beginning. That's another life in your life. That's another body in your body. And you can't tell me the kind Heavenly Father did that. That life can't come from God. It's an evil life to take the life that God give you. So it isn't God's life. It's the devil. Now, another quote in the same thought. He says, from what thinking of Christ is, then you transset it out into the yard and it just keeps growing. But you can praise God just as soon as you get the corn. Is that right? Because you've got the tree already. Is that right? Now, when God said, I'm the Lord that healeth thee, just start praising. You got it. You got it right then. You say, well, I don't see any results, but that don't make any difference. You got it anyhow. See? Because the word of God is a seed. Is that right? And we are sowed with the incorruptible seed of God. See, it can't perish. It's incorruptible. And here's a statement that I usually make in the healing service. The right mental attitude towards any divine promise of God will bring it to pass. See? Because it's a seed. It has to. Now listen. You become your revelation. Abel offered unto God a bleeding, dying lamb. What happened to Abel? He became a bleeding, dying lamb. You understand? Do you have a revelation that says, I am a son of God? I am ordained to be conformed to the image of the firstborn son. Is that in here or is that just up here? Now remember, Brother Branham says it starts with mental faith. But he said when the Holy Spirit gets a hold of it, drops it into here. Is it here yet? Because if it's already here, it's already yours. It's on its way. That life is already growing. You see? Therefore, if we have received the imperishable word, we cannot perish. That's a tremendous thought right there. If you have an incorruptible life living in you, an incorruptible word that you've received, your life cannot be full of corruption. So get your dictionary definition out and start looking up the attributes of corruptible life. Brother Branham even said, in Luke, Jesus said, but there shall not an hair of your head perish. Can't see it. Still there. Notice, we who cannot perish are believers. And even the hairs on your head cannot perish. And as we mentioned about the same test coming upon everyone, we hear Brother Branham speak of these tests in his sermon, for him will I accept. He said, now Job had not sinned. He knew he hadn't sinned. And he had not sinned. So he would not confess it because he absolutely hadn't sinned. But God was really trying him, putting him to the test. And I believe that every Christian that's born again has to go through those tests. Every son that comes to God must first be chastened and purged. Is that right? If you cannot stand chastisement of the Lord, then you become a bastard, an illegitimate child. You claim God to be your father and you know nothing of him. See? A real, true, born-again child of God stands firm. We are sowed with the incorruptible seed of God. It cannot perish. See what I mean? And again from Matthew 18, verse 14, we hear Jesus give us the promise again. He said, even so it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. Now from faith in the Son of God, Brother Branham said, the devil won't judge by the good things. He will judge by the worst things. He throws it all over on the Word. The same thing he does by the Christians. He will say, now look at that there. Look at that guy, supposed to be a Christian, out there living with this other man's wife, or drinking liquor, or doing these things there. Well, I'm as good as he is. Sure, you're better than he is. But brother, that guy has nothing to do with the man who is really living a Christian life and loves Christ. If he loves Christ, he won't do those things. For he is born of the Spirit of God. And the seed of God reminds in him, and he will have no desire to do that. The Bible says the worshiper, once purged, has no more conscience of sin. In other words, no more desire for sin. And if you still have the desire, you haven't been purged. That's just one thing for sure, see? If you still have a desire in your heart to go out and lust and sin, just remember, my friend, you need to come back to God, back to the altar, for we are sowed with the incorruptible seed of God, and ordinary, say a grain of wheat won't perish if it's in the right kind of a ground. How about the seed of God, which is incorruptible? It's got to produce just exactly what it says it will produce. Now, if you are producing, if you are feeding on a vindicated word of God, which I hope you are, you know, I hope you got those tapes on every night, creating that atmosphere for that seed to grow in. Because if you are, brother, sister, and if you're actually receiving it, it'll show in your body. It'll show in your actions. And if it's showing your actions, you can praise the Lord because you're on your way. Well, what about these preachers or so-called believers that go out and have a social drink right in this message? Now, look how Satan will point them out and say, yeah, those message people or those veilites, they do all that kind of stuff when that is nothing but a lie. It's just a scarecrow to keep people from those who are living as Christ and teaching the same. In other words, the person who claims to be a Christian and is out doing those things is worse than the agnostic or the total unbeliever out there who's fighting against you, because they're bringing a reproach against what you're standing for. Now, I'm not going to hold any punches tonight, brothers and sisters. So let me just tell you something. If you still have a taste for that stuff, you've not been born again. You have to come up to Christ and you have to die to yourself. We read you where Brother Bram said, if you've still got the desire, he said, you're an unbeliever. But I believe. Here you do, maybe. But here you're not. You understand? From God's provided way, he said, God always calls for separators. A lot of people in the church would say, well, we want this young fellow. He's just gotten out of college, and I tell you, he'll take a social drink, and oh, he's a good mixer. God don't want mixers. He wants separators. Separate me, Paul. Separate yourself from the things of the world. God have mercy. Give us some old-time preachers that'll preach the unadulterated gospel of Jesus Christ, call black, black, and white, white, and lay the gospel where it will. As John the Baptist said, the axe is laid to the root of the tree. Give us some more preachers like that. And then we'll get back to God's way, the way he thinks about them. So Jesus said in Luke 13, verse 3, I tell you, nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Now I'm showing you the two sides, all right? We have the incorruptible word can't perish. But we have those that haven't repented, which means to change their ways. They are going to perish. He says, or those 18 upon whom the tower of Siloam fell and slew them. Think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, nay, but except you repent, you shall likewise perish. So Jesus said, look, you're no different than those guys that do those things. And now we can focus on just what this means. We can look at what Brother Bram said in Birth Pains. He said, now the word must produce the bride. What's going to produce a bride? Church organization? Combing your hair like the pastor? Oh, I'd like to see that done. Comb your hair like mine. No, the word must produce the bride. But the old system has to keep it its type, he says. It has to produce an Esau who sold his birthright. Now here it comes, and I feel it. I hope you don't think I'm crazy, but if I am, let me alone. I feel good this way. I'm better this way than I was the other way. I may be crazy to the world, but I know where I'm at. I know where I'm standing. Look, it's going to produce us. The other is going to produce a stillborn baby, an ecclesiastical system that's going to bring all the denominations together to produce an Esau that hates Jacob. Amen. I hope you see it. A stillborn, dead denomination, all of them going together. Oh, word believers, give into my message. Hear me. Not my message, but his message that he firmly declares to be the truth. You've got to choose from somewhere. You can't sit still after this. You've got to make your choice. So Brother Branham's letting us know, look, you're either going to perish or you're going to not perish. You can't perish. And you're going to have to go either way, because whatever seed is laying in you, you're going to manifest it. From Psalm 1, and this is one of my favorite scriptures, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. He just won't do it. Nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. He doesn't hang around with those people at the water cooler that are always gossiping and always just tearing down people. He won't do it. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he should be like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. Now, brother, sister, we're in the season for an adoption. We're in the season for manifested sons. We're in the season for being conformed to the image of the firstborn son. This is a season. And this tells me that this blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel, that this righteous man, that he's like a tree planted by the rivers of water, and he will bring forth his fruit in his season. Notice, his leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Now contrast that life of the righteous one with the life of the unrighteous, as we see in the next verse, verse 4. The ungodly are not so. The ungodly are not so what? They are not like the righteous, but they are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore, now listen, what is there about a chaff? I wish I had a drawing board right now, just like to illustrate. But if, you know, Brother Brown talks about the chaff, or actually talks about the shuck. Well, see, the shuck is like that hard layers that's around the seed. Anybody ever get a seed in your hand, you look at it, and you see that hard, it's like almost flaky, you can kind of peel back the layers of the shuck. Notice how dried out it is. But when you open that up and get rid of all that dried out stuff, notice how soft and supple the seed is inside. You see the difference? He says, the ungodly are not so, but they are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous. And that word knoweth is a Hebrew word, yada. And it means the Lord watches over with an active participation. He's there. His presence is there. But the way of the ungodly shall perish. And that Hebrew word for perish is all bad. It's like too bad. It's all bad. All bad. Which means they're just left to themselves. Notice the footsteps of the righteous are ordered of the Lord, but the ungodly are left to themselves to perish. Because there's a way which seems right to a man, but the end thereof, without revelation, without God leading, the end thereof is a way of death. Now look, we're talking about the word which is a seed, an incorruptible seed, and it contains an incorruptible life. So if you have truly received the seed of the word of God, then your life becomes incorruptible. You don't drink. You don't smoke. You don't tell dirty jokes. You don't lie. You don't steal. Because your life is hid with Christ in God. Now, how many people has the devil deceived deceiving them into thinking that they're born again just because they've accepted a doctrine or a creed? But Jesus said, by their fruits you shall know them. And the fruit of the Spirit are what? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, patience, all these things. And the Spirit ought to be the same fruits in your life if we're truly reflecting the incorruptible seed life of the Word of God. Jesus was the original seed. The original seed, then, when it has other seeds, the other seeds are going to produce the same life. Now, from God testifying his gifts, Brother Ram said, now cancer. Now the first place in the medical names come from the word crab, with many legs. That's many forms of cancer. There's many forms of cancer. There's red cancer and sarcoma cancer and different types of cancer. The Rugo's cancer is usually on a woman's breast, just piles up like pancakes on top of it, of each other. And the sarcoma's cancer is the worst, I guess, of all of it. Now, let's watch what it is. The first place, it's a growth. All right, now, it's a little body Well, now, before it can become a body, it has to become a cell, and then the developing of the cells before it can become a body. Now, let's just take, for instance, you here tonight. You was one time, and I was one time, just a teeny little germ. You were too. And now through holy wedlock, when we were brought into the human incubator, then that teeny little cell that you were in, so small that the human eye can't see it, it looked like a little cell through a microscope glass, like a little thread or something. And then right in the middle of it is like a knot begins when it begins to develop and tie. That's the spine. And in there, that one little teeny cell that you come from begin to multiply itself and begins to develop out from that one little teeny cell, cell on cell, and every seed after its kind. The bird will produce a bird, the dog a dog, a human, every seed after its kind. Now, so it all comes down to what seed life has taken over your body. How are you going to know? By your fruits, you shall know. Romans 8:2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. In questions and answers, conduct, order, and doctrine, Brother Branham said, now the law of sin and death works in your flesh, but the law of the Spirit of life works in your heart. Notice the difference. So your heart, your spirit in your heart will make your body obey what it says do. That's exactly right. He said, God will make your body obey your confession. Now, Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, who walk not after self, but but they walk after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, who have died to self, but walk according after the Spirit. Remember, every seed after its kind? After the Spirit. He says, according after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh, they who are self-centered, do mind the things of self. But they that are after the Spirit, mind the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. So then, they that live for self cannot please God. Isn't that something? They that live for self cannot please God. But you are not self-centered, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's not of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of right wiseness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall quicken also your mortal body by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh, not to self to live after self. For if you live after self, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify or kill off the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Father, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. In other words, look, how is it then that the Spirit bears witness? It's because the very fruits of your life is the bearing witness to the life of His Spirit. You understand? When you were in the world, you did things of the world. You lied, cheat, smoke, whatever you did. You know, like the old Baptist thing, I don't smoke, cuss, or chew, or run with those who do. But the thing of it is, something took over your body, and it's a different person operating the body. I'll put it this way, just to make it simple. But, you know, if a convict had a certain car, and people saw that car coming, and, you know, that guy liked to run up the curb and everything else and scare people and everything else. Well, when you saw that car coming, you'd want to jump out of the way. Well, what if the guy went to jail? He died or got killed or whatever, and you bought the car. Now, you're in the car. You're a Christian person in the car. At first, when they see that car coming, they're going to still think it's the same guy. But after a while, they're going to notice, hey, he drives right. He doesn't run up in the curb. You know, he doesn't run through red lights. You know, hey, there's a different guy behind the wheel. That's what we're talking about. Who's behind the wheel? If you're still doing the same stuff you did before, you claim to have known Christ, you really didn't know him. You understand? Now the problem is that the word seed has been presented to many in this hour. The Son of Man went forth sowing the vindicated word, but the word seed fell among on many types of ground, many types of heart conditions. Some stony, some that were not prepared to receive the seed life, other hearts that were indifferent, you name it. But Brother Bram said in his sermon, Show Us the Father, he said, He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. You go right out of this building testifying that you're saved. What if you go out of the building saying, Well, I don't know. Then you're not saved. But God will make your body obey your confession, see? And He's the high priest of our confession. Before you can be healed, you have to confess it first. You have to believe that you're healed. And then when you believe you're healed, God makes your body obey your confession. So now, when you come by here, just let it be settled and say, God, this is your command. I believe I'm healed. Walk off the platform and say, I believe I'm healed. Now, what about if your body is doing sinful things? Isn't your body obeying your confession? Huh? Same thing, brother, sister. I'm going to show you a quote where Brother Brown says it in just a minute. From Matthew 7, 22, 23, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? You know, have we not preached in the name of Jesus? And in thy name, in the name of Jesus, have we not cast out devils? And in thy name, in the name of Jesus, have we not done many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. Well, who's he talking to? Those who knew to do right and didn't do it. Those who knew drinking was wrong and a stumbling block to others, and they did it anyway. Come on. What is iniquity? To know to do right and you don't do it, to him it is iniquity. From Spoken Words, Original Seed, Brother Brown said, Jesus said, many will come to me in that day and say, Lord, Lord, have not I done this and did that, so forth, in your name? And he said, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. What is iniquity? Something that you know that's wrong, and you do it anyhow. And you know that God's word is right. Why do you play the hypocrite? Because your organization and pick a little bit here and won't take the rest of it there, you workers of iniquity. He said, depart from me, I never even knew you. Now you either wade through hell here or you're going to wade through hell afterward. Well, here's the key to the whole thing. From attitude and who is God, Brother Brown said, and when the inspiration of the Holy Spirit is here to inspire you, remember, God will make your body come into your confession. If you say that you're a drunkard and want a drink, don't worry, you'll soon be. If you say that you're a sinner and want to sin, you'll be right into it. If you say you're a Christian and believe it along, and God will bring your testimony, will bring you right into it. If you believe in healing and believe that God has healed you, confess it, and God will make your body obey your confession, for he is the high priest of your confession, sitting at the right hand of the Father now with his own blood to make intercession for any confession upon anything that he died for, and he died to rid sin, and sickness is the result of sin. He was wounded for our transgression. With his stripes we are healed. Remember that. Have faith, don't waver, and stand on it. Now, in closing, and looking at the other side of the coin, the 11th attribute of serpent seed is that they're born of corruptible seed, someone else's word. For I stand at the door and knock, Brother Bram said, and we realize that people who receive anything otherwise than by the word, it doesn't last very long. Notice the incorruptible doesn't perish. What's going to happen with the corruptible? It's not going to last very long. We think of the children of Israel, how they all stumble at the supernatural and then fell in the wilderness. Truly, truly it is, Lord, unless people have a solid faith on your word. And I'd like to ask the question, aren't they stumbling at the supernatural today? Then can they expect any different results than the people of Israel did? No, not if he's the same and changes not. Paul said in Galatians 5, verse 7 to 9, he said, ye did run well, but who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. And so Brother Branham says from thy house, he says, friends, a conversation outside of the same thing won't last either. It won't. When you go to church and you say, well, I'm going to church, I'm going to go and join church and I'm going to get baptized. If that isn't coming from your heart of love to God yonder, it'll never go nowhere. All you'll do is join church and be baptized. But when you're converted to Christ, a love to Christ, then you accumulate a faith in Christ, like you would to your wife or to your husband. You accumulate a faith that you walk in that faith. I don't know, something about you, you just got something that anchors you there, you see? Well, that's the same way it is about Christ. And what Christ says, you believe it. And you just stay right with it. And that's the way. And it just raises you right up above it. And God brings it to pass and it fulfills his promises. And if thou will believe on the Lord Jesus. So notice the corruptible seed have a zeal. But no real heart change. Or no real heart changing knowledge. Excuse me. Romans 10, 2-3 says, "For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge." Now, he's not talking about this here. Because that the Greek word for that knowledge is epigenosis. And it is knowledge based on an experiential relationship. Knowing not by the head, not by intellect, but by experiencing it. They have a zeal, but no relationship. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness or right wiseness, they go about to establish their own right wiseness, not having submitted themselves to the right wiseness of God. And so when a vindicated prophet tells you that he is going to define something and it goes against what you believe, do you say, "Well, that's not in the Bible. It says this"? Now listen. Who are we trying to kid? From the end time, Brother Branham said, when Israel come out of Egypt, God promised that he'd supply everything that they had need of. And that was the church natural typing the church spiritual today. And when they crossed the river, the Red Sea, rather, got on the other side, they was without bread. They'd eat all that they had, but God promised to take care of them. And that night, manna rained down out of heaven, filled all the ground around. Next morning, they went out, and God had supplied them bread. And they'd pick up them little pieces of wafers, and they ate it. And they said it tasted like honey, sweet. Did you ever taste it? Taste any of it? That was a perfect type of the Holy Spirit coming down to supply food for us while we're in the journey going to the promised land, the millennium. Beautiful type. Now I want you to notice, he said, don't pick up too much of it, just what you can use today. Don't try to go to church one day and get enough religion to last you till next year. It won't last. That kept over, it got wiggle tails in it. That's what's the matter with a lot of our Pentecostal churches today. In other words, you got a lot of wiggle tails trying to go in on an experience that you had years ago. Let's get up higher and move on right now. That's right. What a beautiful type. And you remember, the manna never ceased from that day until they entered into the promised land. And the Holy Ghost that fell on the day of Pentecost will never cease falling on the church till the millennium comes. Jesus comes in power. In other words, what Brother Branham is saying here, I believe, he says you might have had a wonderful experience when you met God years ago, but what about today? You've got to die daily, brother, sister. Well, I got the Holy Ghost when I heard a tape 29 years ago, but what about today, brother? 2 million people followed the pillar of fire right out of Egypt. What an experience they had to write home about. They were baptized under the cloud, baptized under the pillar of fire, baptized in the Red Sea, and Jesus said they were everyone dead. Wow. As in eternally separated. Think of it. 2 million followers of the pillar of fire, dead, eternally separated from God. And remember at Sister Allison's funeral, Perry Green got up and he said, "You know, there's 2 million people following the message today." How many years ago is that now? That's 10 years ago. A decade. 2 million people a decade ago. How many is there today? How many of those 2 million is going to be left behind or dying out in the wilderness right now? Don't try to live on yesterday's manna, brother. He said, I am that I am. I was. Notice the promise to those born of corruptible seed. All they have to look forward to is to perish. To fade away, to backslide, to lose their way, to turn aside, to fall away. All those promises are in the Bible as well. You see, there's promises for them, and there's promises for you and I. And they are for those who have not been born again of a vindicated, incorruptible word of God. In Psalm 9:3 says, "When mine enemies are turned back, they shall fall and perish at thy presence." In Psalm 37:20, "But the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord shall be as the fat lambs, they shall be consumed, into smoke shall they be consumed away." In Psalm 68 and 2, as smoke is driven away, so drive them away. As wax melteth before the fire, so let the wicked perish at the presence of God. They don't have a whole lot to look forward to, but we do. From the spoken word's original seeds, Brother Branham says, that's the reason you can hybrid a donkey and a horse, but it won't last. It's death. But the original has got life. It comes back again. I hope you can see it now. The original has the life. So that's the reason I think that cults and denominations and organizations, they die. History proves that they're everyone dead. They never did rise no more. They never will. They can't breed themselves back. Got nothing to breed with. They're sterile. That's why Eve's children dies. And in closing, Acts 13:41, behold, ye despisers, wonder and perish. Notice, perish. For I work a work in your day, a work which ye in no wise shall believe, though a man declare it unto you. What's their destiny? Perish. 1 Corinthians 9:25, and every man that strives for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they that do it obtain a corruptible crown, but we incorruptible. Corruptible, incorruptible. Galatians 1:6-9, I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you who would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you, then that which has been preached unto you, let him be cursed. As I said before, so say we now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you, other than what we've already received, let him be cursed. Notice, what does he say? They've got a gospel. They've got a gospel. But it's perverted. It's been twisted. And 2 Corinthians 11, 2-6. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you as one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means, as a serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds, not your hearts, your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit which we have not received, or another gospel which we have not accepted, you might well bear with him. For I suppose I was not a whit behind the very chiefest of apostles, but though I be rude in speech, yet not in knowledge. But we have been thoroughly made manifest among you in all things. So, look, we're looking at the word. Either you've got a vindicated word given by a vindicated prophet who all you had to do is look at his life and see Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, if you receive the same word, won't your life reflect the same fruit? Amen. The same life. That's all I'm saying. So how can we hide behind a doctrine and say, I've got the doctrine, therefore I can do this and do this and do that? Brother Brown said, you want to do it. He said, I can do anything I want to, but all I want to do is please my Father. When your motive and objective is all you want to do is to please your Father, then, brother, sister, you have an incorruptible seed life in you. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. And I know, Father, sometimes we might take these things personal, but they're not, Lord. They're meant to stir our hearts, bring us to the place, Lord, where we just die to self. And Brother Branham said, if Paul had to be crucified daily, he said, how much more me and you? And so, Father, we just ask that you would help us, O God. As Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. That's right now, present tense. And yet I'm living, but it's not me that's living. It's Christ living in me. And the life I'm now living in this flesh, I'm living by his revelation. And I've stepped into it. And it's become my revelation. And so, Lord, help us, Lord, to become that manifested sons of God. Manifest like the firstborn son manifested. In where he said, I do nothing but what the Father showed me first. And my meat is to do his will. And so, Father, we come to that. That truly we can reflect your Son, Jesus Christ. And this is our desire. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Will the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee.